live in studio with a guest in person. And certainly, who else would we want to do that with besides Mr. Scup?
Huh. Oh, I'm so excited to have first. Scott on. I didn't realize there was a lot of firsts here. This is my first LinkedIn Live.
All right. Yeah. Well, your first LinkedIn Live, the first time we've had a live guest, you know, in person on Tech Beat. This should be a lot of fun today. Before we kind of get into the conversation, just want to welcome everybody. Thanks for joining us here on Tech Beat, where leaders learn, innovate, and grow. My name is Earl Foote. I am founder, CEO of Nexus IT Consultants. Nexus IT is an outsourced IT and cybersecurity firm based here in Northern Utah and servicing a nationwide footprint. I did want everybody to know that we've got a Q&A session going on at the end here, but you can ask questions throughout the hour as well. So just make sure wherever you're joining us from, post your questions, post your comments. Scott and I are going to do our best to kind of keep an eye on that and interact with you throughout the hour here. I did want to quickly give a shout out to our buddy Johnny Dinkle at Launchpod Media. He's here in studio producing with us. He's brought all of his cool setup, his mobile podcast setup to help us out here today. Johnny's company, you can find him at Launchpod Media. Is that correct, Johnny?
That's the one. And he's already got three kills saying that the audio is great.
Awesome. Good. The audio is good. Good stuff.
I'll be commenting in the things that field questions or wants things.
Yeah.
I'll be right here.
Perfect. All right, cool. So if you, you know, if you're doing podcasts, hit up Johnny Dinkle at Launchpod Media. He's here in studio helping us out today. Did want to quickly just let everybody know some of the upcoming guests we got coming on Tech Beat here over the coming months. Keep an eye out for announcements around those on dates and times. Garrett Openshaw, co-founder of Munify. Is that
yeah,
how
you Munify,
say it?
Yeah.
Munify. Yeah. You know Garrett.
Yeah.
You know Giselle Namati from ILO.
Yeah.
Giselle's coming on.
Incredible. Is she in town or is she going to come in from LA?
I think we're going to do a virtual one.
Okay.
With that. She's in LA.
Yep.
Bassam Salem, CEO, founder of Atlas RTX, is coming on. Johnny Hanna, co-founder, CEO of Homey. Tim Cooley, author and executive director at Park City Angels. James Jensen, founder, CEO at That's Jump, which is, I know, one of your investments.
You should do that in person. He'll bring in his gear and his helmet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, you should do down at the Jump.
That's what we got to do, Johnny. We need to go down there I went down there last week and did the beta test Jump, which was super cool.
Yeah.
And so, good idea. We need to go do that down there with James in this, you know, and kind of show everything off, right? Let's see, Garrett Clark and John Bowers from Silicon Slopes will be joining us. Tara Spaulding from Boom Startups, managing director there. Sid Tetro, CEO of Brandless, is joining us.
Oh my gosh, you got everybody.
You know, we're trying to highlight Utah, the ecosystem, the entrepreneurs, the founders, the leaders.
How many are you doing that?
What's that?
I mean, how often are you doing all those?
Twice a month. Yeah, generally. Sometimes
we got years to go with all those good names.
Right. We got lots of good people coming up. So let's get to the man of the hour, Mr. Scott Paul. I think, you know, if you're here on Tech Beat, you probably know who Scott Paul is. But this is his intro, all right? Along with many accolades, Scott Paul, founder of Cryptopia and Giddy.co, is an angel investor with investments in Gab Wireless, Neighbor, Volley, and Jump, we were just talking about. An active cryptocurrency enthusiast, he is currently experimenting with alternative methods of fundraising through his YouTube channel, Life with Scott. So, Scott, welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being here, buddy.
It's funny that YouTube channel's already... We finished, I'm going to call it season one, and it was so much work.
Yeah.
So Life with Scott will forever be like a 30 episode thing. If we choose to do season two, I think it's coming, but it's going to be, we've paused it for now. Because this is a lot of production, as we saw.
Man.
Even getting some mics set up and getting the cameras right, just times that by like, then you're on location running around, times it by 10. It's just a lot of work. So respect to all the YouTubers out there.
Yeah, totally. Like people that are really, you know, creators, good at their YouTube and, you know, podcast games. Like it's a ton of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
I totally get it, man. So Scott, for the audience's benefit, let's not talk about Scott, the crypto enthusiast just yet, but, and all the cool things that you've got going on, all the, you know, you've got your hand in so many things right now. But let's talk about Scott as a kid, as a teenager. You know, where did you grow up? How did you let's talk about your entrepreneurial journey, because you've done some really cool stuff. You've exited some companies to some, you know, high profile names. Maybe just kind of give us a 5 minute, you know, 8 minute background story on Scott Paul and how you've gotten to where you're at now.
It's funny. I've been thinking a lot about my youth. I just got back from Miami, and last time I was there, I was, I think it was like 12. And so I haven't been there for 30 years, that is. And so I was like having a lot of flashbacks of like what I used to be like when I was in that city the last time.
Yeah.
And not so much change. I kind of became a grown up, and then I became a 12-year-old again. So I come back in Miami, I'm like, I feel like I was 30 years ago, you know, and just having a good time. And I think my youth was an awesome one. I have only like really good memories, but I was also the black sheep of everything. Like many founders, entrepreneurs, I feel like a lot of the time you're blazing a new trail, whether that's usually it's not ideas as much when you're a kid, but a lot of times it's just kind of zigging when everyone's zagging. You get in trouble sometimes, you're just goofball and stuff. And so like, hopefully you learn how to take that energy and turn it into creating stuff. But my youth was like, I was always in trouble. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't even remember why, but I was just always in trouble. And I got used to that. So I got used to being the person who is always like on the outside for being different. And that's a really good starting place to be for dreaming about future stuff, because you're always going to be a little bit on the fringe on the outside when you have crazy ideas and you're trying to explain to people things that don't yet exist. Yeah. And you have to be comfortable taking those chances and just sharing ideas and possibly being wrong and trying to paint a picture of what could come tomorrow.
So, I mean, like I would totally agree. Like true visionaries usually are on the fringe, like, and they're these concepts and ideas that are stretching people's minds. And a lot of people, of course, are naysayers. And then you get guys like Elon Musk to come along and kind of show like this is really going to happen.
Yeah.
You've been open about, you know, like being ADHD and, you know, how that's shown up in your adult life and, you know, professional life. But let's, you know, so I just want to kind of talk about that. But let's come back around to that journey, you know. So you went from this kid, you know, that was always super rambunctious, had a lot of ideas, a lot of creativity, maybe didn't fit the mold. How did that transition to Scott Paul, the adult and entrepreneur?
Well, I just never really, I don't think I ever really did transition. I do think the thing that allowed me to succeed is, people say it's a lot. I actually don't shout my wife out that often. I just kind of like let her, I don't want her to be in the spotlight. She doesn't like the spotlight, but
Natalie's a rock star.
She's a rock star. Yeah. And she just doesn't like social media thing, but she, any good co-founder, like any good duo, you have to have a co-founder who is, has complementary skills. And so all my craziness, she brought order. She brought, you know, consistency, she brought execution skills, and that allowed us to like build a life together where I was able to I call every job that you have until you go out on your own, every career or job you have that's paying you a paycheck is your seed fund, and your whole goal is to save enough money every month to fund yourself for your side hustle. And she allowed me to really excel at doing those career day jobs and saving. And we saved together and we ran a house together. And I had enough money to jump off a cliff finally and say, I have some runway to do my own thing. And that was my first company I tried to start, which was actually drone. I was trying to do drones before drones came out. It was like I was buying the first drones from I was getting them from Germany, flying them, getting them assembling these carbon fiber things and trying to fly up and film with them and crashed them. Like the first time we went up, I destroyed $8,000, and I'm like, this is not a good idea. And so, but like that, those were the things you have to fail a ton, right? You got to keep making stuff. And that was my first time like feeling failure, because that company never took off. But she was there, and I had money and time to burn, because I had done sales at other jobs and saved up enough And so I'm going to credit that transition, if there was any, to having a good co-founder. And it wasn't even that we were doing our own things. I consider a partner of a co-founder if you guys are trying to get life done.
Yeah.
With kids or at home and stuff.
So. Yeah. Your co-founder at home, sure. Your life partner.
Yeah.
Which I know Natalie, yeah. I mean, she's been.
And now she's a co-founder of a company that's crushing it right now.
Dree.
Laundry, DoorDash for laundry.
Yeah.
And so she's doing that every day. And it's kind of fun because now she's at a startup where we get to talk about, like, should we go to this startup event? Should we do this thing? Should we do this strategy? Should we hire this person? So we're like sharing like resources, and we never really done that. It's always kind of been me out there in the crazy startup world and her supporting the family. But now we're both doing that.
Yeah. That's so cool. It's cool that you can commiserate on, you know, what's going on in your different ventures and all that kind of stuff. Right. So, I know, you know, as long as you and I have known each other, I've kind of watched this journey you've been on of transitioning out of being a founder and more into an enabler, more into an evangelist and an investor, right? Yeah. But before we kind of talk about that, and that's been an interesting, you know, kind of transition to watch from the sideline and watch Scott Paul really lean into, you know, you discovering and finding where your real talents are and, you know, where you can really add value and then leaning into that really hard. Yeah. But before we go there, maybe let's just talk about a couple of your most successful ventures. I know Armor Active, you know, and you had one other that was a pretty successful venture.
The Armor Active, both were bootstrapped, which was all I knew how to do back then. This was 2010, right? So there wasn't like a lot of VC talk. I mean, I don't, there's probably only one VC in town at the time. You know, 10 years later, there's 10, right, or more here in Utah. But so I just bootstrapped. It was an iPad cases. I saw the iPad. I'm like, this thing is going to be used in the public. It's not just a consumer device. People are going to put it all over the place. And so I quickly started making hardware for that, kind of accidentally. But, it was a great success because it allowed me to grow a team, get to know a lot of people in the community. I'm still friends with everyone that ever worked with us.
Yep.
But it wasn't like a software company. It didn't have a lot of scale. It was like a lot of work to engineer these things. Things are getting like, there's returns and there's just all those things that come with having a physical product. And I'm like, I don't want to do that again. So I started an app in 2012. And that turned into a lot of money spent to develop something. But what we learned in that app was how to do influencer marketing. The app itself never monetized, but the way we brought users to it and user acquisition became a pretty big company called Instafluence that Disney bought about 2 years after we started it.
Cool.
And so I had back-to-back acquisitions in 14 and 15 that, you know, definitely changed. They were life-changing, and they were also changed what I did. I wasn't really running the companies after I sold them, and I wanted to do so many things. And one person said, the hardest thing you do after acquisition is there's so many opportunities. It's hard to focus and wealth and success usually kind of comes through concentration and not, and then you want to preserve it through diversification. So everyone's telling me, don't just stop and like spread yourself thin, go and find something to focus on again. And I just didn't do that. I quickly started investing in everybody's idea, everything. I used every last dollar that I'd made from selling companies on startups.
Yeah.
80 to be exact. Right.
Yeah.
And so the next 5 years, I'm just cutting checks to dreamers, and it was addicting.
Yeah.
So addicting that I ran out of money and like a gambler, I'm out of it. And so I started a venture firm so we could use other people's money.
Yeah.
Because during this time, I got really good at, I was a horrible investor at first. I was making bad bets and just didn't understand, like, I just didn't have a thesis really. And then over about year four, I started figuring out my groove and finding kind of the looking pattern matching of who was going to be a winner just by the way they talked and the team, and started learning from my mistakes and my first bad investments. And so I really honed in a skill of finding winners early in the pre-seed stage and the seed stage. And then that turned into kind of the whole thesis of our new Convoy Ventures, which is finding those early pre-seed deals. Yeah.
Which I wanted to talk with you about. And that's, you know, really an extraordinary story. I know you dabbled with a lot of different little ventures and stuff, you know, had two, you know, significantly big hits. Remind me, Armor Active, did that sell to Disney or also?
No,
that
influence with Disney.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Armor Active sold to a PE firm out in Oregon.
PE
yeah.
firm, okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, like all the people that I know that have been involved in Scott's ventures from, you know, 12 or you know, you started 12 years, 15 years ago?
Yeah, about 12 years ago, actually, yeah.
I mean, everybody that I know that's ever worked with Scott and being on his team, like they're loyalists, like,
wow.
And they've joined you on multiple ventures yeah. oftentimes.
Yeah, it's just cool that you've talked to people and they say that, because
yeah,
that means a lot. I had some of I can say they're all best friends, and we've all tinkered since on so many projects, failures, some little wins.
Sure.
One of my best designers and just warehouse managers became, he runs all my NFT portfolio, and okay. he is so good at NFTs, at understanding the culture and what's coming out, that he found some projects that turned into, you know, if we get into NFT talk, it's local company here called Artifact and their yeah. and the CloneX project. And I would not have a single one of those if it wasn't for a shout out to Chandler.
Yeah.
Chandler McFarlane. Yeah. So it's just been amazing. The friendships I've made over the startups. And that's because I really do the startups. For the team you get to hang out with, like yeah. it's just Sandlot all over again, mm-hmm. you know, and with women, right? It's not just the dudes. It's Sandlot, that baseball, you know, they go out and organize and they play games
yep.
and they compete against other local teams. That's all I feel like that pre-seed stages. Yeah. It's just assembling a team of friends and making a product. And it's beautiful.
That whole team ideation, you know, yeah. kind of phase. That's a lot of fun.
It's the best time.
So you go from some successful ventures, you decide, and you know, this is super cool because, you know, Scott Paul wants to be the guy that puts Utah and the Utah business scene on the map. And certainly, you know, honing in now on the Web3 crypto space, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
And but you've put out all of the money you made in your other ventures, you know, yeah. towards helping other entrepreneurs, you know, find their footing and find some success in the process. So let's maybe begin to transition here. I know you just came back from a Bitcoin convention in Miami, literally just flew in, got yeah, here just
an hour,
before.
An hour and a half ago. And,
yeah.
And I'm tired. But no, we're good sleep. Now. We're good now. Yeah. But I don't sleep on planes. It's the worst.
Yeah.
It might have been something that where it's bad. I tried to invent in my mind while I couldn't sleep a contraption that would actually allow me to sleep on a plane. So I think I spent 10 minutes thinking about that and got a little sleep in the process. And so there might've been a little there, but someone's got to make something that allows my head to like rest somewhere or a bubble. I've seen stuff.
Dude, I can't sleep in a plane.
Someone's got to solve that problem. It seems like a big problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And the mask thing, don't even start me about the mask. I wear a poncho and I put the hood down over my head so that I take the mask off and I just breathe easily. And I'm not going to, I don't care what people say. I'm not going to wear those masks on planes. No. I'm sorry. Sorry.
So you got the cool Miami get up, you know, going on today.
I wanted to say thank you to TaxBit. They had a big booth there and they gave me this pink top, which is rad. And then I bought this shirt and pants at Ross so I could go to a fun party.
Nice. I love it.
$70 get up in Miami. It's my favorite.
I always got the, you know, some sort of cool hat or wig.
I stole this from in Dallas, there's a hotel. I'm gonna go meet Dude Perfect, these guys that do a big YouTube channel.
Oh yeah, of course I know those.
Yeah they're those awesome. They put us up in this amazing hotel right by this like Dallas football like arcade whatever campus thing, and this was just hanging on the wall. I'm like, there's no way people don't take these and put them on and wear them. So I'm sure the room got charged for it or something, but it's going to become my favorite app. I take it everywhere, all over Ecuador, cool. everywhere.
That is a pretty cool hat. There's no doubt. By the way, you know, we are trying something out new here, of course, again, in person, in studio here today. Tell us what you think about it. You know, do you like this or do you like the big heads, you know, on virtual? I kind of like this vibe. I feel like it's a little more, organic and authentic, but we'd love to hear from the audience what you're thinking.
Look at comments to see if there's anything here.
Vinay D. Cardwell said Armor Active is one of the all-time favorite places to work at.
Oh my gosh,
Vinay D. Cardwell.
Vinay, man,
Armor Active is my all-time favorite place I worked at.
That's so cool to hear. He's such a stud. He runs some pretty big gatherings now. up at the U, this facility up at the U. So Vinay, shout out to Vinay.
Hey, Vinay, shout out.
Good ones.
That's super cool.
Rad.
So let's talk about, you've had a couple of, you know, really big successes going on right now. You know, I know Convoy, you know, launched January 1. I was talking to Trent this morning. You guys have invested in over a dozen companies already so far this year. But I want to come back to Convoy. You launched Giddy last week?
So I was on the flight to Miami on Thursday night, and it launched while I was in the air.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get the token, you know, that just launched. Yeah. And it was not good internet. And it's very hard to do DeFi. Very hard to do DeFi at all.
Yeah.
Very hard to do from a mobile phone. Very hard to do in the air. So it was fun to watch. I'm refreshing. I'm talking to everyone. And this launch was amazing. I mean, it's the first time I've been around crypto for 7-8 years. This is the first time that it felt like very close to home. This was like a project that I was there from the beginning with. And I just to watch it happen. And this is only the beginning. This is just the token. We have a whole slew of products coming out. And it's just, I can't. I'm so giddy. It's just like, it's finally like delivering. I always wanted to be able to deliver a product that everyone in the world could touch. It was always my dream. The app I tried to do years ago was kind of like an Instagram competitor. It was kind of like voting on photos, and it was the wrong idea. I was delusional on what I thought it could be. And I learned a lot, but the intent was always I wanted to create something in Utah that the world would know. That would put us on the map, that would stay in Utah, you know, be birthed here and stay here.
Yeah.
And have a household name like that people would know. And man, I just think I don't know what could possibly stop Giddy at this. Well, I do know there's it's blockchain. It's got a lot of unknowns right now. Sure. But the team and the team behind it and the what it's going to do for DeFi, it's gonna be unstoppable.
Yeah.
I mean, like I can't even really talk about it. Yeah, the Parker Brothers. I can't really talk about it because there's so many rules on like financial advice and stuff like that. Like I can't tell people to go buy it, to go stake in the coin. And it's not even investment at all. It's our governance token for our thing. But I like urge people to learn about DeFi. I just really urge people to go out and do things like try to buy an NFT, try to buy a coin, try to do things that are like feel difficult and hard. Just use a little money, use $20 and go through the process of getting an NFT on OpenSea. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Nothing. And so I just with a little money. So I just urge people to do that. That's the hard truth. It's like you gotta just kind of do it. And then you see how these smart contracts work and how the chain, you know, and the addresses, and you just start to kind of see it come together.
Yeah. So cool. And Giddy, I think last night I saw, which by the way, where'd your mic end up?
Oh, I got one right here.
Oh, you're good. Okay.
I'm good.
I didn't see it. I wasn't sure if it fell and we were getting audio. So again, we're trying something new. So we're just figuring out the kinks here.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I think I saw last night the market cap, which by the way, I haven't been able to get into Giddy yet, which maybe I need to talk to some of the people that I know involved to, you know, boost me up. I think I was this morning, I was 3,000 and something.
You're thinking about the app that's coming out in the wait list.
Yeah, exactly.
But we need to get you in the token.
Oh, too. Okay. So the token is not available through the app.
Not yet. It will be.
Okay.
All right. It's a little out of order.
All right.
The app came out with the wait list, the token launched, and then the token will be used in app.
Okay.
When the full app comes out.
All right.
Which will be in the summertime.
Super cool. You gotta help me figure that out.
I will talk about that,
but I want to talk about
Nexus IT hooked up Giddy's Wi-Fi. Hey, the least we can do is get you into DeFi.
We appreciate
you, you gave us Wi-Fi, we give you DeFi.
Ah, there we go. I love it. Perfect exchange. That's gonna go down as one of those slogans for centuries, right?
Yeah,
you give us Wi-Fi, we give you DeFi. So Giddy last night, I saw a market cap of 153 million. Is that
the fully diluted? Yeah, the fully diluted market cap is 140 something. I don't really know what that means.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I know what it kind of means, but it's not like we're now worth, like, we have that cash on hand, but it's, in tokenomics, people record, there's fully diluted, there's mark cap, there's the price of coin. You can go right now to coinlaunch.giddy.co and you can see the current price and the mark cap and the rewards. If you stake Giddy, or if you want to go put like Polygon in there, or even USDC, there's, we're streaming free Giddy to people that stake in our protocol, which is our token essentially. And it's fantastic. It's actually working really well. And it looks simple. We'll go to this website and you're like, this is really simple. What's going on behind the scenes is the work of genius blockchain developers who are doing things. We have 23 employees at Giddy now in just a few short months.
Wow.
And they're making this, they're making this thing every day. We're talking, like, they don't have time to go to conferences or anything. They are making blockchain. They are making an app. They are making Giddy look good, work well, all that. And so just go look at that website, but know behind the scenes is like the roots of a new financial system. It's like it's building a way to safely store millions of dollars and protect it. Like, that's just crazy to think that we're able to do that, and we're able to keep our own keys and our own access to these things, and then go put large amounts of money or small amounts of money, but it's yours. You custodian this money. It's not in an exchange. It's not
have to rely on a bank. You know,
it's yours.
It's blockchain, is decentralized.
Yes.
So let's talk about how do people get the token? You know, I know people are watching this and they're like, well, this is cool. How do I go get the token?
Yeah, that is that Giddy. So the Giddy, the coin launch, what I think I said, coinlaunch.giddy.co. That's where it's at right now. And then you follow all our socials. It's been out there. We're not really advertising it because it's not an investment or security. It's our token that we're using. It's a utility that will be inside of our app that you can get it and you can kind of show support. But like, we're not, the promise shouldn't be that it goes up. That's not the, in fact, that's the problem with most of this crypto world. Everyone wants to buy something and have the coin go up. Really, the coin should probably all be pretty stasis, in the sense of like, we want coin should probably stick around, you know, be not that volatile,
and stable.
And the yield that comes from what you do with your coins, that should be where you can pick projects that have different yield. And so that's like, there's degens out there that are going to try to, you know, grab it low and sell it high, and that's fine, you can do those things, but that's not the purpose of in my opinion, that's not the purpose of what we're trying to do at DeFi. It's a good outcome. There's yield there, and there's a chance the token can go up a lot, but it's not the underlying purpose. We're trying to bring, access to investments that the world doesn't have right now. Without being an accredited investor, you can't even do some of the stuff that, like, you can't, your access to the financial systems that banks use and accredited investors and the uber wealthy, they're not accessible to everyday people. And DeFi changes all that.
It's so cool, and there's so many super creative things happening in this space right now, in Web3 and crypto and NFT and DeFi and all that stuff, right? Anything blockchain related, like, just massive amounts of new startups, and particularly kind of giving the power to the masses, you know, and you're taking the power away from those who have had it for so long, and saying, look, like, with a few cents or a few bucks, you know, you can get access to mechanisms and vehicles that may, you know, you got to play your cards right. But if you play your cards right, that may be able to change your situation and create wealth down the road.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, that's a good segue, I think, into Convoy. You having invested everything that you could into local startups and then really honing in on, you know, you want this household name to come out of Utah to stay here, but to be a blockchain based venture, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the household name could be neighbor.com. Mm-hmm. Could be these shoes I have on, Kizik. Shout out to Kizik. Yeah. These are so nice at the airport.
Shout out to Monty.
I have such bad ADD, by the way, that I don't even take the time to do the stupid, what do they call that, TSA pre.
Oh, yeah.
Clear. I've waited in so many lines. I should just. I finally went and got an appointment. I finally got an appointment.
Just pay for clear. That's the quickest, easiest thing to do.
Is that? Does it skip all the birth certificate and everything?
Yeah. Well, you got to give them documentation, but like usually lines at clear are less than TSA pre-check
or global. Yeah, I know. I saw that. Yeah. So yeah. I'll go do that. Thanks for the recommendation. Yeah.
And it's not expensive.
But yeah, it could be Kizik. You know, I think Kizik's working with Nike.
Yep.
But so is Artifact, and they got bought by Nike. So we have a lot of I'm going to call it Utah companies that are up and at it, doing global stuff. There's lots
Our buddy Josh Little and Volley.
Volley could be it. Yeah,
Volley
could
Volley, be it. Man.
There's a SafeMoon token that's in town that is actually globally very well known. Massive community. There's people all over the world. So there's companies coming out of Utah that. You can find in the streets of Quito to, you know, somewhere in Bangkok. They're all over. So I love watching that happen, you know, and it's the next wave. So could it be a Web3 company that becomes a household name? I think that's most likely,
yeah.
But I think it also could be a Web2 company. I think all Web2 companies are going to have to figure out their Web3 components anyway. I think
everybody's trying to work on that pivot right now, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So tell us a little bit more about what you're doing with Convoy and what the whole vision and mission is behind that and what you and Trent are doing there.
I mean, I'll tell you the vision. I'll tell you what the reality, and I'll tell you the vision. Right now, it's what's called an AngelList rolling fund. So it's done by AngelList, which is one of the biggest. It was like a software that let people kind of crowdfund, you know, just kind of. Almost like Robin Hood for angel deals. Like just saw a bunch of me, just click a button, the ones you wanted to get into. And then they said like, well, this is working really well. Let's let other people run their own funds. And so what's nice is this fund takes all the hard stuff, a lot of the hard stuff out of it for someone like me with ADHD and then Trent who loves meeting people. Like, so we're very much liking to be out there doing the meeting and investing. And AngelList takes care of the back end that, it's really hard and expensive. And then one other major thing is that it's a fund that allows you to advertise it, talk about it. So there's a lot of things you invest in. You can't solicit. I can't talk about it. Most funds in town, like you can't, they can't go out and raise money on LinkedIn or Twitter. For whatever reason, AngelList, the way it's structured, you can. So imagine that.
SEC allows them to.
Yeah. So I can actually shill it.
Okay.
Which is huge for people who have audiences online.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of people who have Twitter accounts or LinkedIn accounts or some type of audience that are getting behind. They're able to do these AngelList funds. And so it was just a perfect structure for the time in life that I wanted something that was not. A new company that didn't feel like a whole brand new company that was going to have to take a bunch of back office. And then Trent just finished up at Prenda and we were ready to rock and roll. And so the premise now is to find as many companies that are pre-seed only in Utah and get them their first check.
Yeah.
If you're in Denver, I don't care. You got to move to Utah. You have to have someone here.
Yeah.
Because there's something that comes with proximity geography that you just can't replace. And so we're doing a bunch of events and they're always right here. All the companies are right here. So they can always come to events.
That's a cool thing. You're creating an ecosystem to help these companies thrive, get off the ground. It's not just about, let me give you a check and walk away. It's about, let me give you an ecosystem to make this thing happen. Right.
It's not even the check anymore. At this point, people are doing it because they want the ecosystem. Our checks are small right now. We just started the fund. We don't have a lot in there yet, but it'll be huge because it's all people are always subscribing and coming into it. And we can have a lot of LPs and our ask is very small compared to other venture funds. But the other reason I think it's going to be huge is I think we're going to have the more companies in our portfolio than any other company at 12 already, you know, we'll be hundreds in a year. Probably in 18 months, we're going to be passing 100 and then I don't see it stopping because we're still having to say no to 95% of companies. Yeah. There are so many good Web3 technology, consumer product type stuff right here.
Trent told me you've had about 200 applications so far in the last 3 months.
Yes.
Three and a half months.
And 50% of them right off the bat are like, dang, this is not just a pipe dream. This is actually, we got to get into it. So we're finding ways to help the ones that we pass on get funding as well, because we just can't make that. We don't have enough money.
The thesis is it needs to be Web3.
No, it's crypto. We like Web3. We like
consumer product.
Yeah, right? No, we like Web3. We like consumer products, Web2 stuff. We're not really big into SaaS. Plenty of SaaS in town.
Sure.
Plenty of places
plenty
to
of
fund
big
it.
Funds for
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. So we want to make sure we catch the other ones. Mm-hmm. And here's the real goal. I want to have let's just call it even a $1 billion fund. That's
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
No, I think Pelion has about $1 billion under managed, but I don't think they have a fund that size yet. Think about $1 billion and then a really good vetting system, or just almost like you go get a grant. You say, I'm coming to Utah, and for like a little bit of equity, you get that $150,000, $200,000. It's just enough to quit your day job and go after the thing. And it was almost like, if you did these, if you meet these requirements, here's the money. If some state did that, or some country, I think Dubai or like Saudi Arabia should do it right now.
Yeah.
You would get all this innovation coming. And so I want to create gravity in Utah. Like, I want to get so much money that we're able to fund all the things we see, minus ones that are just not there yet. There's always going to be, like, you never know who it's going to be. So yeah. It's like, I think throw as many darts as you can, and let's Utah be like the most prolific pre-seed like ecosystem in the world.
Right.
Which
has typically not been Utah's space. Like,
no,
landing pre-seed capital in Utah has generally been a difficult thing, right?
It's hard everywhere, but it's hard in Utah for particular people. Yeah. Leave a lot and go to the bays and the coasts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think we could create a way to just, I talk to so many people, and I see so many people at companies that are just not fulfilling their mission in life. They know, they feel exhausted, stuck. They want to do something. They want to work on their own project. They want to attempt their magnum opus. They're maybe 30 years old, and they're like, now's the time to strike out. Maybe they're four. I don't know what their age is, but I'm seeing everybody at their day job, their desk job, their whatever that thing is. And I think if someone wants to chase an idea, they should be able to. I think we should have the freedom to chase our ideas, and that there should be money out there to go give it an honest go.
As long as it's a good idea, there's good, potential behind it, and the people behind it, right?
But if you can help curate that, and you can help provide a lot of that, so that just like we're doing a fund and we don't do the back office stuff, because that's not, I don't want to be good at that. I want to be good at finding deals. I want to be good at meeting entrepreneurs. I don't want to waste any time on things that are not my superpower.
It's your super social guy.
So let's figure out how to get people money and take away some of the hard stuff that causes, chances of failure and stuff. And right now, just the fundraising part of being a startup is so tedious, so horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even believe it should be in Web3. It would be like, if you hear an idea and you like it, you just click Wallet Connect, Stake, boom, and you give that startup some money to have them go at it. But right now, there's like 1,000 DocuSigns. It's calls to investors. It's all this bullshit. Right. Yeah. Total bullshit.
Do you think you guys are right? And I've seen a couple of people working on like crowdsourcing Utah-based, Web3 sort of platforms, call it Start Engine for Utah, Web3 and crypto ventures. Do you think you guys will, get into that space at all? Or
we've talked to AngelList, and we can definitely like invest in like Web3 or even right into tokens, but as far as like who creates like a fundraising DAO or a vehicle to pay crypto to start crypto projects, it's going to happen really fast. I know that Solana and Harmony and a lot of the biggest tokens have $100 million like search funds that are just out there giving the money out to build on their ecosystem.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I hope Giddy does that.
Yeah.
Giddy should be powering all the many ideas that could be, built to enhance their wallet, or built to enhance the DApp, or built to enhance whatever that may be. And so I think you're going to see that now that we have some Web3 companies coming out, they're going to be super successful. and they're going to have a treasury, or they're going to have money and tokens of that they own because of the light paper. This was how it was all set up. They're going to use that and go and grow the ecosystem. And so that's why we want as many of those we can here, because they're going to do well, and it's written into the contract that how they're going to distribute funds. And a lot of these are very gracious in like distributing funds to ecosystem.
And it's a public ledger.
You just see it all. It's all there.
It's pretty hard to figure.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's real quick on Convoy. How do people go apply? I know you have a process. I think
our new website's like coming out, I think, next week.
Okay.
So it'll have an application there. In the meantime, you kind of have to go direct to me or Trent or Sarah, Mike Seller, or just convoytalk.com.
Yeah. Sarah's kind of the first line, right? So
yeah, Sarah's amazing. Sarah, yeah, she's good.
On LinkedIn.
Yeah.
She can kind of, you know, vet and get you hooked up with Trent, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
or Volley. I think Convoy Talk goes to our Volley.
Oh, there you go. Do Volley for Convoy, sure. Go do Volley.
Convoytalk.com or something. And that's Convoi.
Yeah.
I'll put a link in that. We'll put a link in the
In the comments here.
Yeah, in comments somewhere. Yeah.
In fact, Johnny, you could certainly do that on the fly.
Thanks, man.
He's on it. Johnny.
There are a number of questions.
Yeah, let's do some questions really soon.
Let's do that. I do want to talk about, before we do that, let's talk about Cryptopia quick.
Oh, yeah.
And then let's maybe, you know, leave 10 or 15 minutes here for some of the questions. So May 26th, tell us about what Cryptopia is all about.
So May 26th, we'll have down in Draper at the event, Slopes Event Center.
Martin Miranda's place.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a good spot.
He puts on good events.
Yeah.
Just be a one-day event, and pretty packed day. I think a lot of locals, it'll be mostly locals, but we have some people coming in. They always do.
Well, the last one in February, there was like 250 or 300 people that came from out of state.
Yeah, that's true. Cool. Yeah. So we want to get to that point where there's a lot of out of state. And because that's the scene going on right now, Miami to Denver to LA. The Web3 stuff's collecting people from all over the world, actually. Yeah. So the October one's going to be a much bigger installation, but we're going to have a just jam-packed day of panels, workshops, and a big fiesta at night.
Big party.
Yeah.
Nice.
We should get you in helping on that one. That's what we need to.
Well,
you
Martin got
the
and
vibe.
I was talking
you know
about
the
maybe,
vibe here.
Maybe having, you know, like playing some music or something, but Martin's like, let's just chill and enjoy the party. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. But you actually, you mean playing you.
Like, yeah,
oh, that'd
playing.
Be awesome.
Yeah. Band. Yeah. Yeah.
So, so that will be going on, and you'll cover everything. There's tickets just went on sale at cryptopiaslc.xyz.
Yep.
Kind of a crazy URL, but, tickets are on sale. If you just go Cryptopia Utah, it'll come up in Google, but that's going to be a great place to learn, and it's going to be advanced, and everyone's going to be there in Utah. Like I went out and handpicked like someone from every single blockchain company to at least be representative. NFTs, DAOs, DeFi, coins, like every aspect. Play to earn is going to be a big one at this one. I think we have a workshop on that. How do you play video games, make money, which is a real thing now.
Yeah, real thing.
There's play to, I want to have a whole thing about play to learn, which is going to be an interesting education incentivized through blockchain rewards, you know, and tokens. So that's going to be interesting. And then I'm really into this idea of like charity right now, thinking that there's going to be mega funds. It's already happened with Ukraine.
I spent a whole hour talking about how crypto's played a role in Ukraine.
It's been insane.
Crazy, man.
It's insane. And it's just this whole, and Elon the other day he said, did you see this one about Twitter? He's like, why don't we turn the Twitter offices into homeless shelters since no one's there anyway? And it was just, and it had a vote. It was like 4 million voted yes. Like no one said no. So it's like, he's such a troll and he's so good at it.
Right.
So good at it.
I mean, who goes and buys, you know, enough shares of the majority owner and get a seat on the board.
No,
you know?
Exactly. So but I think about that.
Getting kicked off the platform for one, and then they have a bigger voice.
So smart. But I mean, with something like that should be a DAO. Like that's a great example of how you could set up a charity to like, actually do something like that with all that office space.
Okay, so Cryptopia, May 26th, whether you're in Utah or not, you know, go to cryptopiaslc.xyz, right, is the URL to get tickets. Go hit that up. Nexus IT is a sponsor of that. You know,
thank you for always doing that. Man, you are the first to come in and make the community You fund everything.
I don't know that we fund
everything. I see your name on it. You are always a sponsor. Anything I go to, I'm like, dang.
We believe in building community.
It's huge.
It's an ecosystem, you know? And
It pays off. Everyone knows. And it's hard as an IT company. I mean, you know how many times I get hit up for IT stuff on LinkedIn? It's like, I feel like they're all the same. But then you have, but you put personality and humanism into it. Now everyone knows you guys. And you're setting up freaking Vivint Center where are you saying now you got the big?
Maverick Center.
Yeah, it's huge.
We're doing several big, you know.
Yeah, that's right crazy. Yeah. So it's just like, it all comes around. What goes around comes around.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Certainly, you know, and we know, you know, that this whole space of, you know, blockchain and crypto, Web3, like, it is, you know, a future or a segment of our future, right? And we definitely see the writing on the wall, and we're investing in it as well. So we're happy to support, you know, the Cryptopia, you know, kind of community.
Yeah.
But go get your tickets, come out, see us there. Let's get into some questions. Johnny, you've been watching that. Maybe you can throw some towards me here, and we can get into some questions for Scott here.
Okay. All I ask is that when I state it, they're going to hear you better on the podcast end when you repeat the question I stated to you.
Yes.
The first question we have, it's decent, is, you can give an overview of the products coming and anything on the DAO.
Okay, so overview of products coming and anything on the DAO. Who is this from?
That's from Brian Cowley.
Brian Cowley. Okay, I know that's a little ambiguous. You got anything there?
Repeat one more time.
Upcoming products on the DAO.
Upcoming products on the DAO.
So DAO stands for a decentralized autonomous organization. And so basically, it's the new structure in which an organization comes into existence on this decentralized blockchain Web3 movement. So products coming out, I almost think almost every DAO has almost been thought of already and is getting formed. Meaning, you come up with an idea of a new country, a new nation, like a new anything. Someone's out there making a DAO because it's permissionless. You don't have to ask permission to make a DAO. You make a light paper, a white paper, and you can have a personal DAO. You can have a family DAO. So when the question like that, what product's coming out? What product isn't coming out as a DAO? I don't know. So maybe he has another one.
What do you think is the largest barrier to DeFi long term in terms of mass adoption?
Okay, what is the largest barrier to DeFi long term in terms of mass adoption?
I think it's a short-term problem. It's just what Giddy's going to solve. And I'm not here. I'm biased as hell, but I'm also right. So Giddy's going to solve that.
Yeah.
The problem right now is DeFi is hard.
Yeah.
And everyone will tell you that.
Yeah.
I've been explaining to people all day long how to do it. And it's like, this is literally, I'm saying, well, okay, if you're in Coinbase, you're going to have to take your Polygon or Matic over to, you know, crypto.com, and then it will go off of the ERC20 network, and you can actually put it on the Poly network, then take it over to MetaMask, make sure that you have everything right before you go and enter sushi.com, which is a sushi swap where the Giddy token's listed. You're going to swap into Giddy, then you're going to go connect your wallet right over there on the Giddy launch website, but make sure you stake in the Giddy coin for your highest. Everyone,
this
things is
why
I said
you
right
need
there,
to come to Cryptopia.
Yeah,
so you can learn all this.
Everything
stuff.
I said right there, there's a chance to lose all your money and like get confused and break down and cry. Okay. And that's why Giddy started.
And I have personal friends that have lost money along the way, in transfers and stuff. They're oh man, how do I get this back?
Yeah. So I had that problem, and Eric and Ethan, the Giddy founders, were helped me out, and I said, why don't we do this for everyone? And I cut them a check. I invested in the company with DeFi, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But the DeFi,
you've written multiple checks with crypto.
I've done several. Yeah. It's mostly because I was out of money and I have crypto. Every last dollar goes to it. I will go into that because it's hard to watch some of the investments race the crypto price. Cause it's like, okay, are you guys, like, should I use crypto or not? Because you get better outpace the growth of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
The Giddy will be imagine how easy Venmo or Robinhood is to on ramp your money and then put it into things. So Venmo ease, Robinhood ease for DeFi.
Yeah.
And And so in the long term, it has to get that easy. And then it's going to spread so fast that it's actually potentially destabilizing to certain. It's nothing we can do to stop this, but when something works well and it beats, bank yield by 400x.
Yeah.
500. I mean, there's no yield in banks, right? You just lose your money.
Completely destabilize, national currencies and everything, like banking systems. And that's big, right?
It's big, but we got to think about that. Like, as the ease of, and Gideon's not the only one in town. So we're all working to make it easier, because that's what you do with any product is for the new waves of adoption. It's got to get easier and easier and easier. Just like Oculus is trying to get that freaking VR to a point where we don't just charge it up and leave it on the side of the, desk for the rest of, it's just not there yet.
But I never used my original VR.
Eventually you're going to put it on and it's going to be fast loading as your phone, and you're not going to have to fumble around like an idiot, and it's going to be there.
Simple, but just, few clicks, couple buttons.
Yeah. Maybe no clicks. Let me talk to it. What are we doing here? My eyes track and just say something, or whisper, whistle, and then it'll click. I don't know what it's going to do, but we're not there yet on VR, and we're not there yet on DeFi. But we're there in the sense that we're so close that it's going to happen in the foreseeable 18 months for all of these things, I believe. And it could be destabilizing. I know it's a long answer to the question, but it's a philosophical one that I'm thinking about every day.
No, totally.
That was Mitch Sanders that asked.
Mitch, that's Mitch. Thread Wallets. Yeah.
Good old Mitch. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Mitch. Shout out to you, man. And shout out to Thread. Johnny, you got another one there?
I do. I have two more for you. Next one is from Jesse Grace. He asks, is the Giddy token going to be used as a voting token in the DAO, or is it just hold basis?
Okay. Jesse Grace, is the Giddy token going to be used as a voting token in the DAO, or just for hold?
That's, beyond my pay grade right now. There's a light paper that explains kind of the Giddy token, but I don't know. And there's a DAO, but I just don't know if how we're doing the voting and the governance at this point. So good question, Jesse. Take that to the Discord or Twitter for Giddy. Sounds and you'll get one of the brothers will probably chime in.
Ethan or Eric Parker. Okay.
Chandler McFarland.
Oh, speaking of the devil.
Okay, Chandler McFarland. Here we go.
What was the best learn you had at Florida at the crypto conference?
The best learn. Oh, man.
Best learn at the Miami conference, the Bitcoin conference you just came back from.
I know. Jeez, Chandler, that's putting me on the spot.
Humanity. I know that. You're telling me about this rapper rapping down on the beach,
Oh, my gosh. Rapper. Yeah, I want to get this homeless rapper. Want to find out a way to get him funded. I'll probably put this up on the internet. I recorded him singing five different songs. I'm like, this is crazy good. So I think I learned how global. So Miami is very, very global. So I learned that I always thought I was going to be able to make Utah the center of crypto. And I went to Miami and I'm like, crap, this is hard to compete with.
Yeah.
They got everything going on there.
Well, it's such a melting pot.
Such a melting pot. And we don't even understand here in the U.S. how important crypto is for countries that don't have good currencies.
That's just it. Like developing countries, a lot of people prefer to operate in crypto, because they can go under the radar. They don't pay taxes on it.
Yep.
You can do international transactions without bank wires and all that kind of stuff. I know a lot of people that live, I think, I have a lot of friends internationally,
yep.
Particularly in Latin America, but in Europe and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of them, work for companies outside of, or do projects for companies outside of their countries, and they just take payment in crypto because it's the quickest, easiest thing. It's 100%. An instantaneous 100%. Transfer,
And everything that people are doing in that manner is getting easier, more easy to file for taxes, more. So all those remittances and stuff that are having internationally are just going to get better technology stacks on top of them. So that I think, so what I learned, I learned that Utah's got a way to go. We're really not there, but we're doing the best we can.
But you have your say, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I have my say, it's going to happen. And then I do think I saw five real estate projects. So real estate on chain is, meanwhile, there's one happening here, two or three happening here in town.
Being funded by crypto, or just the ledger on
blockchain? Just putting assets, just putting assets on chain, putting real world assets like a title and a home and fractionalizing that, or a, you know, whether it be residential or hotel or something, you're going to see real estate it's really disruptive. I think if it works out, it's how real estate should be. Like, it should be a more fluid, when you can turn something that's not fluid right now, like a big fat piece of property and all the crap that goes with it, and you can make it fast like DeFi and fractionalize, and it's going
to
be insane.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, not everybody's got $1 million to write a check to buy a physical piece of property.
Yeah, very few can do, fractionalize, even get the loans for that. Yep.
And even, you know, even put $1,000 in, or put $10,000, you know, and, fractionally own a piece of property, you can still invest into that property. I think about, like, my boys who are just transitioning into adulthood between 18 and 22 years old, the three of them, 18, 20, 22, right? And I've been thinking about and talking with them about how the heck are they ever going to buy real estate, you know? The market's just gone out of control, and maybe this is an option. Maybe, you know, maybe, okay, they don't live there physically, but, you know, maybe they rent somewhere, but at least they can invest into some real estate, you know, $20 a month, whatever it is. Right.
I think I also, like, Lyft and Uber weren't working in Miami really well.
Interesting.
And I asked them why. I asked one of the drivers, I kept booking them and they would cancel. So they would, like, pretend it was coming to me and then cancel. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So I finally got picked up after a $40 Uber for, you know, 10 minutes. I'm like, why is everyone canceling? And then she said, they're not paying enough.
Yeah.
Like, people are actually not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Because in just a short amount of time, the gas has gone here and all these things. Mm. And people are seeing the only ones driving are pretty much breaking even, because it's like their habit they're doing. This really smart Uber driver told me, like, they're not adjusting to inflation. It's not even worth it to us to drive right now. I'm thinking about that and thinking, like, it's going to get worse. And Uber has a big take rate on that. Like, the only way to, like, probably save that is we got to get the Uber.
They're going to have to give up some of the pie.
And honestly, decentralize it.
Yeah.
Whoever makes the Web3 Uber is going to be in a happy camping. Yeah. I mean, there's a big lobby to probably fight that, but
there you go. Scott just gave you the next $1 billion idea.
Oh no, it's been thought of.
Web3 Uber.
People are going to do it, but I just think that we're seeing mass. I'm seeing that division of, like, the haves and have nots more acutely because of how bad this inflation number is going, and that people who have equity and assets just watched everything double, and the people who have salaries and are renting just watched everything going, like, stay the same or going, you know, it's not worth as much anymore.
Yeah.
And this is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No one wants this, by the way. I don't want there to be classes between people.
Yeah.
I don't want that. That's not what I envisioned America being.
Yeah.
Because we have with our money so bad that we should be creating this wealth gap. That's just a bad system.
Totally is.
Yeah. It's not like anyone wants that to happen.
Yeah. No, and certainly I think that's where, you know, crypto is playing a big role in kind of leveling out the playing field there.
It hasn't quite yet, but it can. I saw the promise of it. I've seen things happening. I'm like, dang, I saw 21-year-olds that are retired already.
Sure. Yeah.
And doing their best life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they played it right.
And the crazy thing, like, when I started buying Bitcoin to help companies pay for ransoms, you know, 12 years ago, I think I was paying $60 a Bitcoin.
Yep, I remember
$80 a Bitcoin. Like, the last time I bought was like $2,500 a Bitcoin. Yeah. Right. And so some of these people, you know, maybe their dad, you know, gifted them, you know, 5 Bitcoin that, you know, they paid $100 a Bitcoin for that are now worth $45,000 a Bitcoin you know, and it just completely changes, you know, the whole dynamic.
Yeah.
But certainly it's not mass scale as of yet.
But we have to teach our kids how to, you know, and I can also say that the class thing is an age thing. I'm older, so I've accrued more assets.
Yeah.
But if you're growing up right now, anywhere, almost any country, any state, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Right now. They need to figure something out.
Yeah.
Because it's not sustainable. there's not a path right now for sovereignty of and resources that you own. Like, there's just not an easy path. you're going to go to school, you're going to learn like some basic jobs, and they're, none of those are going to even like allow you to have home ownership in your life. Like that's like, if things don't change. So I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know what's going to go on, but I have kids. So I'm, it's on my mind.
Totally. It's an interesting future ahead of all of us. Well, we are out of time. We want to thank everybody for joining us for this segment of Tech Beat, where leaders learn, innovate, and grow. So happy to have had my buddy and you know, our esteemed guest, Scott Paul. Hopefully this was a lot of fun for everybody. It was for me. Scott, any parting words?
Not financial advice, but go do something on the blockchain. Don't be afraid of it.
Spend $20, spend $50, you know, start dabbling, start figuring it out.
Yeah.
You might lose it. It's okay. You have $20.
I'll pay you back. If you absolutely lose it, I'll give you your $20 back. I'm good for that.
All right. Cool. Thank you so much, Scott. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. We're signing off.
Ciao.